Thank you, Brother Carter. Indeed, that's an old-time favorite, and that song never gets old. It is always relevant, especially at such a time as this. Give me that old-time gospel. Thank you, my brother. And once again, we are blessed by God to be able to worship him today on the first day of the week. You know, one of the things that strengthens a congregation of the church is to have family members being members of the church. And in our congregation, we do have that. And in just about every congregation, there are family members that make up the backbone of these churches. A couple of weeks ago, we had, last week, to be honest, we had Father and Son, which is Brother Young, Brother John Young, leading us in songs, and his son, Brother Jay Young, who actually presented the message. And we give God the glory for that wonderful combination, wonderful message, and just the entire worship service. This week, again, we have another combination in terms of the song leading and also the preacher. No stranger to us, we have Brother Daniel Carter, who is the brother of our song leader, Brother Booker Carter. Brother Daniel Carter is no stranger to us. We heard him a few weeks ago on that very, very powerful message, pray until something happens. And that was such a powerful message. How can we ever forget it? And we give God glory and the praise for having used him then. And I have no doubt that this morning God will be using Brother Carter to present another powerful message. And I encourage you all to make sure that you have your pens and the papers ready as he comes on and presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage every one of you, make sure that you remain muted. Some of us are unmuting our device and it is becoming a little distracting. Please make sure that you remain muted. And the only person who should be unmuted is the speaker of the hour. Without further ado, Brother Daniel Carter.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Brother Webster. Good morning to my brother Booker. Did a fine job in singing. Of course, good morning to Brother E.J. Taylor, who's doing a wonderful job. I'm just grateful that God is using this young man. I know his dad personally, just a great family. Good morning to the Southland Area Churches of Christ, and greetings from sunny, shaky California, home of Disneyland, home of Hollywood and the Walk of Stars, home of the Staples Center and the NBA champions, the Los Angeles Lakers. But it is also home of that great Figueroa Church of Christ in Los Angeles, which was started by the late, great R.N. Hogan. And I miss older preachers like that in the Churches of Christ. My grandfather, as most of you know, was my spiritual leader, the late, great B.T. Martin, my mother's dad. And certainly we miss just all of those older preachers, not to say that the younger preachers are not doing their job, but it was just such a blessing to sit at the feet, because I'm under the umbrella of every Paul needs a Timothy, and every Timothy needs a Paul. And now, without further ado, I want to go back and reread our passage of scripture for this morning, which was read in your hearing, for emphasis sake, after which I will give you a sermon topic for your prayerful consideration. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to go back with me to Matthew chapter number 7, and I will commence reading at verse number 13 and will terminate at the 14th verse of the chapter. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say wait. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 13, these are the words for us today. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many," underscore that now, "and many there be which go in therein." He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and the Lord says, and a few, not many, but a few there'll be that find it. The grass wither and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall last forever. Again, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for narrow is the gate, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And so with that thought in mind, and those readings I used for a subject this morning, it's an old lesson that I've preached before, but I think it would be very beneficial during this course of time in our religious world of society. I use for a subject, it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. If I wanted to travel from my current residence in Moreno Valley, California, all the way up to Los Angeles, California, I could take the 60 West to the 10 West, or I can just catch the 60 West and jump over to the 91 West, and then take the 710 North and hit the 10 West and go into downtown Los Angeles. Or I can take the 60 West to the 91 West and catch the 110 North and get to Los Angeles. If I wanted to go from my hometown in Gary, Indiana, home of the late great Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, right next door to Chicago, if I wanted to go from Gary to Chicago, I can catch the 80-94 Expressway to the Calumet Express, and then take the Calumet Express over to the Dan Ryan Express, and then take the Dan Ryan and go right into the loop downtown Chicago. Or I can catch the 90 Expressway, the toll road, and get off on 12 and 20, and it'll take me right into Chicago. If I wanted to go from downtown Detroit over to Windsor, Canada, and the wife and I have had that experience, I can cross over out of downtown Detroit across the Ambassador Bridge, or I can catch the underground Windsor Tunnel, and it would bring me up from downtown Detroit to downtown Windsor. Or I could just catch a ferry across Lake Ontario. My point is, there is more than one way to get from Detroit to Chicago. There is more than one way to get from Detroit to Canada, rather. And if I wanted to go to New York City, all the way across the country, to Los Angeles, California, I can catch the Amtrak. I can catch the Greyhound. Or I can fly Delta or United or Southwest Airlines. In other words, there's more than one way to get from point A to point B. But this morning, I came on the Zoom telecast this morning to tell somebody on this telecast that if you wanted to go to heaven, there is but one way. Yes, there's only one way to get from heaven, from earth to heaven, and that way is through and by Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that might sound tight, but it's right. For I definitely heard Jesus, he declared in John chapter 14, and around verse number 6, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Yes, Jesus is the one and only way to get from earth to heaven. But now when I look out into our religious world of confusion, as I like to call it, it is so sad and so unfortunately that men are trying to get to heaven every which way but loose. You see, some folk are trying to get to heaven through Buddha, but Jesus said, I am the way. Some folk are trying to get to heaven through Confucius, but Jesus said, I am the way. Some folk are trying to get to heaven through Elijah Muhammad, the way. And some folk are even trying to get to heaven through astrology and Scientology and eschatology. But Jesus says, I am the way. And Lord bless my bones. Because some folk are even trying to get to heaven through the Pope. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get to the Father except by me. And not only did Jesus say that he was the way, and that no man can get to the Father except through him, but he also said in John chapter 10, if you remember, Jesus said, I am the door. And if by me, and by me if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. But he, watch this now. Jesus said, but he that enter in, not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb it up some other way, the same, Jesus said, is a thief and a robber. I said folk religiously are trying to get to heaven every which way but loose. But again, we clearly find in our text only one way, and there is only one way only, prescribed and couched within the word of God in order for a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl to travel spiritually from earth to glory. After we die, you see, we can go all the way back. We can go back to the Old Testament. And hear Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah declaring Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. Jeremiah said, thus said the Lord, stand ye where, Jeremiah? In the ways, plural, and see. And Jeremiah said, then after you get done looking, he said, then ask. The Lord says, for the old path, plural, where is the good way, singular, and not ways, plural. For there is, Jeremiah says, a good way. And when you discover that good way, my friend, Jeremiah said, you need to walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. And then it was the wise man Solomon who looked and took that thing a step further when he says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, King Solomon, he says, and somebody needs to really hear this today. Solomon said that there is a way that seemeth right, how, Solomon, unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Solomon said there is a way that seems right, but the end there is unto death. You see, what I'm trying to say is all of these different ways within our religious world of confusion that men are preaching and teaching about from their pulpits and all of these man-made churches. And now because of the pandemic situation, they're telling you that you can go to heaven on Zoom and Facebook and all of these entities. They're saying you can get there any way you can. But I came to tell somebody that there is but one way, and that one way to heaven is through Christ. That might sound tight, but I know it's right. And then, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in our lesson text. In our text that we have under investigation, for it says again, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth where, Lord, to destruction, and many there go in thereat. Jesus said, but now straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and only a few shall find it. It's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that when the days that when the ark was preparing, only 8 souls were saved by water. What I'm trying to say is everybody want to go to heaven, but everybody won't get there. You see, Jesus says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and only a few shall find it. Jesus did not say find them. He said, but it. And it, my friend, always refers to one of a thing. I know that might sound tight, but it's right. Now, when we go back and look at our text this morning, coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14, I want to take this time this morning and make a contrasting comparison of these two individual and distinctive ways that Jesus makes reference to as to how they relate within the halls of religion as we know today. And the lesson will then be yours. You see, first of all, I want to compare this wide gate, this broad way. I want to compare that to denominationalism. That is, churches which have been built and established and founded by men. And they are all over the city of Chicago, as well as out west in Los Angeles. They're all over Memphis, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and as far down as Orlando, Florida. Then secondly, when we get done with that, I want to compare the straight gate, that narrow way. I want to compare that to the Church of Christ. That is the only true religious institution up on the face of the earth, which was built and established and founded by Jesus Christ himself. That place where a person can get baptized in, that place where a person can live in, that place where a person will eventually die in, and then be resurrected up to heaven in that self same place where Jesus says that he's coming back again to receive us unto himself. That where he is, there we will be also. That place, according to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul said that Christ is going to receive the church unto himself without spot or blemish or any such thing, to carry the church and the members thereof back to heaven to live with God forever. And so I hope, trust, and pray this morning that by the end of this message, that some man, some woman, some boy, some girl who may be watching or listening to the Zoom telecast will go to a local church of Christ in your city and confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue. And say with your mouth that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and repent of your past sins. And then be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. Why? For the remission and for the forgiveness of your sin. And then be added, don't join it, but be added to the Lord's church, which is that blood-bought institute called the Church of Christ. For the Bible clearly states in Acts chapter 2 that there was some folk that heard the preaching of the gospel by Peter. Peter preached the gospel in Acts 2 in Acts. And then they that them that gladly, not madly, but them that gladly received Peter's word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them, and to them were the 12 apostles, was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Isn't that amazing? One gospel message was able to baptize 3,000 people. But today it seems like it takes 3,000 sermons to baptize just one. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says that the same people that got baptized on the day of Pentecost were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Bible said, and the Lord added, they didn't join, but God added to the church, not churches, but he added to the one church daily such as should be saved. I'm telling you, my friend, that's Bible 101. And like my grandfather, the late B.T. Martin would say, he said, before I take any of that back, I'll add some more to it. So again, when we think about this wide gate, this broad way, denominationalism, it says that one church is just as good as another. My friend, that's a broad statement. Denominationalism says that it makes no difference what name the church wears, so long as they teach and preach Christ. That's a broad statement. Denominationalism says that everybody in any church is God's child. Now, that's a broad statement. Denominationalism says you don't have to even be baptized in order to be saved, and that baptism is non-essential to one's salvation. And that all you have to do, you don't have to be baptized. Just believe in your heart. Quote the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. That's a broad statement. Denominationalism said that all the churches of the world belong to Christ. And one can just go and be a member of the church of your choice. But I came on this line to tell you, when I ain't but one of a thing, you don't have a choice. Am I right about it? I tell you, when you look in our world religiously today, somebody said that our world religiously, it looks like old MacDonald Farm. You know the story. There's a duck duck here. There's a duck duck there. Here's a duck. There's a duck. Everywhere is a duck duck. Well, when I look in our world of religion, there's a church church here. There's a church church there. Here's the church, there's the church, everywhere you look, there's a different church teaching a different doctrine and practicing different things religiously all over this world. But somebody is wrong and God is right. I know that might sound tight, but it's right. And then somebody else says that our world of religion looks like Burger King. Y'all remember how that Burger King had that old slogan, have it your way. In other words, if you want a church that worships on Saturday and Saturday only, you can have it. If you want a church that worships and sings with the aid of instrumental music, you can have it. If you want a church that takes the Lord's Supper once a month, quarterly, annually, semi-annually, and some of them take it neverly, you can have it. If you want a church that calls a preacher reverend or bishop or pope or apostles, you can have it. If you want a church that has a woman in the pulpit, you can have it. If you want a church that welcomes and embraces a homosexuality without teaching them that you may come that way, but you can't stay that way, you can have it. I said it looks like McDonald's, and it looks like Burger King. But I came on the Zoom telecast this morning to tell somebody today that the Church of Christ is not McDonald's and is definitely not Burger King. It's God's way or no way at all. You see, my friend, we need God. God don't need us. We need God. He don't need us because God is God all by himself. God said that if he was hungry, he wouldn't tell us. God said, listen, my friend, God said, I am the potter. Ye are the clay. God said, and I am the creator. Ye are the creature. And then God says in Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse 19, God says, I call heaven and I'm calling earth to reckon and to record this day against you that have, that God said that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and both thou and thy seed may live. In other words, God is saying to us this morning, my friend, that from the time that we came out of our mother's womb, God tells us, I'm calling all the shots. And so what that ought to say to us this morning is that what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, Paul said, listen, my friend, Paul said, whatsoever that we do, how, in word or in deed, Paul said, do it all in the name or by the authority of the Lord. In other words, whatever we teach, whatever we preach, it ought to be according to God's holy and divine word and by his authority. You see, the word of God is the truth, my friend. I didn't come on here to incriminate anybody, but I came to tell you the truth, my friend. And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know it sounds tight, but it's right. In other words, everything that we do in the churches of Christ must be found in the book. Yes, whatever we preach and whatever we teach religiously must be done according to book, chapter, and verse, and not lip, teeth, and gum. But if you want to know exactly what God says, if you really want to know what God is telling you, in order to be saved, then take a look, because it's in the book. Oh, yeah. Now, it amazes me. Let me slow down a little bit. It amazes me. I'm flabbergasted. I just can't comprehend how that every time men will go out and build and start Porter and establish another new church, how that they would name that church everything but what the church is named in the Bible. You see, the church in the Bible, and I know I'm right about it, is called the Church of Christ. Paul said in Romans 16, and verse number 16, Paul said, salute one another with a holy kiss. He said, the churches of Christ salute you. That's Bible, my friend. You see, the church in the Bible is called the Church of Christ. But men will name their churches any and everything but what the book calls. They'll start off with the cities, New Jerusalem, Missionary Baptist Church, Bethlehem, Healing Temple, Shiloh, Galilee, Jericho, Antioch, Macedonian Baptist Church. Why don't they just name it what the book says? The book says Church of Christ. Then it looks like they run out of cities. They'll go up to the mountains. Mount Zion, Missionary Baptist Church, Mount Calvary, Mount Sinai, Mount Piscopa, Mount Nebo, Mount Horeb. Why don't they just name the
when they run out of cities and when they run out of the mountains. We're having a little technical difficulty, but that's all right. We gonna get it together. I got some help in the house. I said, when we run out of cities and when they run out of mountains, then they'll come down off the mountain and they'll start using the name of the disciples, St. John, St. Luke, St. Matthew, St. Peter, St. Jude. Wow, they just name it what the book says. The book says, Church of Christ. And Brother Webber, I know you know this. You see, the Church of Christ is the bride of Christ. And every bride wears her husband's name. Brother Webster, how would it look if I asked Sister Webster to change her name to Brother Carter, to Sister Carter? I don't think that'll go over too well. I know we cool right now, Brother Webster, but we'll be uncool if she changed her name. You see, because names are important. The wife wearing the husband's name shows respect to that man. It shows honor to that man. So why would you name the church after anybody but Christ? You see, the church is his bride. And John said, watch this. Even John the Baptist, John says in John 3 and verse number 28, and he was making a clear distinction between him and Christ so that nobody would get it twisted or walk away with a misunderstanding. John said, listen to John, my friend. And this goes to all you Baptist folk out there. John said, for ye yourselves know and bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And he that had the bride is the bridegroom. In other words, John was testifying that he was not the groom, but that he was just the best man. So don't go naming a no church after John. Talking about John was a Baptist. Well, I beg the difference. John was not a Baptist, but he was John the Baptist. John was his name, baptizing was his name. Am I right about it? I know that might sound tight, but it's right. And John was testifying that he was not the groom, but he was just the best man of the groom. John said, but there's one coming after me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to bear. And he that has the bride is the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is Jesus the Christ. That's why the Bible called the church of Christ. Because Christ is married to the church, and the church is married to Christ. What other name would it be? And so now, with all of that said, let me show you how in all these denominational churches, how all of this stuff came about. Because when you open up your Bible, my friend, from Genesis to Revelation, you won't find but one church in the Bible that was established and founded by Christ. But when you look out into our world of confusion, there's churches on every corner wearing different names, I said, and practicing different things. But let me show you how all of that stuff got started. You see, these man-made churches, they'll start out with a name like St. John Missionary Baptist Church. But then somebody in St. John, don't like what's going on because they're not the boss of the boneyard. So they'll go down the street and start them a church. And they'll name it New St. John Baptist Church. And then somebody
New St. John Baptist Church get mad. Don't like what's going on at New St. John. So they'll go up the street, start in the church, and they'll call it Greater New St. John. Why don't they just call it what the book says? The book says Church of Christ. As I close, my friend, as I close, I'm saying boldly that all of these churches in our religious world of confusion do not belong to Christ. But the Bible distinctively tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and around verse number 4, Paul said there is but one body. And then in Colossians 1:18, Paul said the body is the church. Ephesians 1:18, he said the church is the body. And then in Ephesians 4 again, he said there's one body. So if there's only one body, that can only be one church. And that church, my friend, is the church of Christ. And so if you're in a church that was not established and founded by Christ, I'm afraid, my friend, that you're in a church that was not built by Christ. You're in a church that has no salvation in it. For the Bible distinctly says, Peter says in Acts chapter number 4, Peter said, there is none other whereby men must, there's none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. I beg you, my friend, become a member of the Lord's church. It's not the church of Christ is not exclusive, but it's inclusive. In other words, God wants all men to be in one body. And this is why Jesus prayed that old prayer. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but all that hear thy word. He said that as I and the Father are one, that ye may be one with us. God wants one church upon this earth. He's only established one. Everybody that wants to go to heaven must be in that one church. Not one building, but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who's Father of all, above all, and through you all. Just one. As I close, you see, my friend, the only church that I can find in the Bible is that church that was built and founded by Christ. And it had its beginning and its origin in the city of Jerusalem, AD and 33, on the first Pentecost after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church of Christ started in Jerusalem at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and it is called the Church of Christ. Again, Paul said, salute one another with a holy kiss. He said, the churches of Christ salute you. Therefore, if the church that you are a member of wasn't built by Christ and had its beginning in the city of Jerusalem around the year when Christ died, AD and 33, and it's called none other than the Church of Christ, then I'm afraid to tell you, my friend, that you're in the wrong church. And it is a church that cannot and will not be validated and supported by the Word of God. Well, if your church did not begin at this particular time, at this specific place in Jerusalem, by this individual founder, Christ, and it's called by an exclusive name, that it cannot be the church wherein salvation can be found. Listen, my friend. In 606, not AD 33, but in 606 AD, in the city of Rome, not Jerusalem, King Boniface III started what is well known as the Roman Catholic Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder, and it is called by the wrong name. In 1520 AD, in Germany, Martin Luther started the Lutheran.
Lutheran Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1534 AD, in England, King Henry VIII started the Episcopalian Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1536 AD, in Switzerland, John Calvin started the Pentecostal Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1607 AD, in Holland, France, John Smith started what is known and well known as the Baptist Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1739 AD, in England, John Wesley started what is known as the Methodist Church. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1830 AD, right here in America, a fellow by the name of William Miller started what is known as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I like what the old Marshall Keeble used to say about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they're also known as the Latter-day Saints. He said, I know they can't be the Church of Christ because they're too late. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong time. And it is called by the wrong name. In 1897, in AD, in Little Rock, Arkansas, C.H. Mason started what is known as the Church of God in Christ. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong founder. And it is called by the wrong name. But according to Matthew chapter 16 and commencing around verse number 13, Bible said as Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he began to ask the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They began to say, Lord, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. And Lord, some don't know who you are. And so they say you're just one of the prophets. But I came on the Zoom line to tell you that Jesus was not just one of the prophets. He was the prophet that made prophets. And so Jesus, not being satisfied with the popular opinion coming from men, he looked at the 12 and said, but who do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And old big mouth Peter spoke up and said, thou are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, look here, Peter, you ain't that smart. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto me, but my Father which art in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And Jesus said these wonderful words in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this confession, upon this truth that I am the Christ, Jesus said, I will build my church. And not only, my friend, did Jesus declare that he was going to build his church, he said, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus only built one church. And if anybody wants to be saved today, you must. It's imperative that you become a member of that blood-bought institute called the Church of Christ. Then in AD 33, on a great Pentecostal morning, Peter preached the first gospel sermon. He said, ye men of Israel, Peter said, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was approved of God by miracles, wonders, and signs, as God did by him in the midst of ye, as ye also well know. Peter said, him, by determinate counsel, they were determined to kill Jesus. He said, you have taken and crucified and slain. He said, but God loosed the pains of death, seeing that he was not to be holding it. And the Bible says, Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that the same Jesus, whom God made both Lord and Christ, they killed him, they buried him, but he got up early morning with all power, and God said, I'm going to make him Lord and Christ. And the Bible said, when they heard that information, they were pricked in their heart and said, of Peter and to the rest of the apostles. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do in order to be saved? Peter didn't tell them to go lay their hands on the radio and accept Jesus in the heart. Didn't tell them to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Didn't tell them to just quote the sinner's prayer. But the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that promise, he said, was not only unto you, but unto your children, and many of the Lord thy God shall call. And the Bible said, well, many of the words that Peter testified in Jordan. And he said these words, Porter. He said, save yourself. Don't worry about your grandmother. Don't worry about your grandfather. Save yourself from this untoward generation. And the Bible said they were praising God, having faith with all people, because then they gladly, not madly, but then they gladly received the word, were baptized. On that day, 3,000 people heard that gospel message and were baptized on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says again in Acts 2:47, they were praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord added, they didn't join. You hear folk all the time, oh, I joined the church last week. Listen, my friend, if you join a church, that's your choice. But if God adds you to the church, that's God's choice. And God is only going to add you based on your faith, based on your obedience in baptism. Bible said, and the Lord added daily to the church, not churches, but to the church, such as children be saved. My friend, I know that's tight, but I thank God that it's right. You've heard enough to save the whole world, but all you have to do this morning, my friend, is just repent of your past sins. You've heard the gospel. You got to believe it. You got to believe that Jesus established and built one church. Believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God. Believe that they buried him, but he got up early Sunday morning. You got to believe that with all your heart. Then confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue. You got to come before a criticizing world and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. After that confession, then I encourage you to go down with Christ in the watery grave of baptism for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sin. And it is in that water that you'll come in contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And this is why John says in Revelation chapter 1, he says that John says that the blood of Christ shall wash away your sins. You're back into the hands of our great man of God at the Southland Church of Christ. Brother Webster, may God bless all of you. May he keep you. And I pray that you would not turn a deaf ear to the things that we just taught and the things that we got straight from the Bible, but that it would germinate in your heart and cause you to think along your way and become a member of the Church of Christ before you die. Because the Bible said if you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. May God bless you. May keep you in the hollow of his hands until we meet again by the ways of the air. God bless.